Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls, one ginger. We do so many different shows that I'm like, I don't know what we're doing today. It's all just mush in my mind.
It's all for you.
It's all for you.
What are we ever doing? You know?
What is life?
What is life?
Just working.
What is existence?
It's working.
Just working and dying. Working.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's sad.
Going on walks.
Ooh, we do go on walks.
I go on walks.
We do a daily walk.
I haven't done one today because I had to come here, but been going on the walks.
Yeah, we've been going on walks.
It's one of those lockdown like lingering remnants that I'm glad we still like. Yeah, we like implemented it.
Oh yeah. Well, my parents started doing the COVID walks, and now they are like little mountain goats.
Oh,
they'll walk like 10,000 steps, 40 floors.
It's wild.
On a Tuesday.
I'm on like 15,000 steps a day.
That's crazy.
May will like send her like stats from the walk, like right when I'm like way deep in like a bag of potato chips or something.
Dude,
and
though,
I'm like, okay.
I gotta tell you, it's really easy when there's a dog. Because
he
has to go out 3 times a day. So now
That's just true.
A little bit more eager. I'm like, I'll take him. And then I'm like looking at my little step counter. I'm like, ooh yeah.
No, it feels good.
We gotta get a dog.
Yeah.
No, not now.
But we're getting a dog.
I do have
after
to
your wedding.
I do have to say that walking is the most underrated thing in
it's
the
amazing.
World. I really advise everybody to just go on a little walk.
Me too.
Sure. Especially now that we're gonna have a dog when we go.
We were just talking about how we don't want a dog because
not,
we
not
don't
the time.
Want the shedding nor the stink right now in our lives.
You'll get there.
Just want a little reminder for everybody that if you have not joined our Patreon, if you have, you'd be watching us on video right now. If you haven't, you're just hearing our voices, but we'd love to see you. So join our Patreon. Lots of bonus content going on.
We love our Patreon. We cover the most interesting cases there that we've never had a chance to cover because first degree is submission based. But yeah, I mean, Patreon is where we really, I don't want to say shine, but like it's where we really can have the discussions we want to discuss. And we know that they're going to be received relatively well because you're all there because you approve of the show and like it.
And yeah, there's like real depth over there. It's not like the Patreon for this podcast is not like a sticker pack. Like,
oh, no.
It goes very deep. And there's a lot of content over there that's like it would take you a long time to get through all of it at this point. So
well, you know what I think is so crazy? Like I've seen other podcasts that do Patreons and I've heard people's like feedback to some of them. And they're like, yeah, this podcast said that they'd have, you know, an extra episode a week. And then they don't.
And then they just don't.
Then they just don't.
I didn't know that you could do that.
I don't operate like that. The anxiety I would have of like losing someone who took the time and money to subscribe and never getting them back.
Yeah. Well, for the things that you promised.
For
it's
the
like,
things you promised.
That's crazy.
Well, wild.
We stay on it.
And we stay on it. We've
I feel like
stayed
we,
on
we
it.
Didn't even acknowledge this, but April 6th Killing Time that we aired was our 100th episode of Killing Time.
What? You mean of Killing Time?
Of Killing Time.
That means we've done like 2 years of Killing Time straight. We've never missed a Killing Time. We've never missed an original First Degree, and we've never missed an episode. Period.
It's
ever,
crazy.
Ever in the years that we've started, and we're gonna start launching like little mini series of episodes, even between all the episodes we're already doing, to start highlighting some cases that really need to be solved. So it's like we're just gonna bring you more and more content. All the more reason to join us on Patreon.
Yeah, we won't fuck you over like some of these other people do allegedly. It's just so crazy. I just can't imagine.
We just
that.
Have the personality
it's like
types.
Stealing.
For that.
It's stealing.
Stealing.
Anyways.
False advertising.
Stealing, I tell you.
Stealing, I tell you. Fact. Rant over. All right. Should we go into the day for today?
Please.
Yes, please.
Today is April 20th, and there were some dark
dude,
days.
420.
We're going to get into that in a second. April 20th, 1841, the first detective story was published.
Oh.
This was an Edgar Allan Poe tale called The Murders in the Rue Morgue, and it first appeared in Graham's Lady and Gentleman's Magazine. And that was basically, everybody says that that is the first true detective story that was ever released, launching a massive genre.
Edgar Allan Poe shows up again.
I'm a big Poe fan.
Big Poe fan. And if you guys are also, we had a whole Killing Time dedicated to Edgar Allan Poe.
I thought Poe was the root of the word poem, and I was corrected by the internet.
The episode is titled Edgar Allan Poem.
It makes sense, honestly.
It does make sense, and I'm shocked that isn't
true. That it's not.
It works. It works.
It works.
It only makes sense.
I know.
Another, this is a really dark day. No laughing matter. April 20th, 1999 was the Columbine shooting.
Ooh.
Which,
it was like a precipice, like school shootings started to become a regular occurrence after that.
Yeah.
It was very much like a turning point in crime in America. It's super sad.
It's fucking crazy.
I think the darkest
day maybe ever.
That day is, well, yeah, but I think the darkest part of that day is remembering how serious that tone was.
Oh my God, yeah.
How shocking it was and how desensitized.
Well, it basically stopped the world. Like, it stopped the country. It was one of those things I'm sure everybody, like, remembers where they were when it was all going on. And then now there's a school shooting every fucking week. And we're completely desensitized as a country. It's absolutely disgusting.
I don't even think we're desensitized. I just think we're hopeless because the NRA lobby is so strong. Like, what are we supposed to do? Like, we can't change it. Only a few people can change it. They keep getting voted in. And that's it. So it's not really desensitized, but it's a jaded element because, like, we can't fix it.
Yeah.
We don't want guns in schools.
No.
Most people don't.
Nobody does, except for the few that are going to do something
allowing
about
it.
But to bring it back up, it is April 20th, 420. The weed smokers of the world, it's blaze it, whatever they want to say.
420, dude.
Smoke weed every day.
But I was really interested. I was like, where did 420 come from? And there's a lot of things like in life, like, you know, the Stussy S, as they say, that nobody really knows the origins of. It kind of just appeared in the zeitgeist.
Is it not like a, what do they call it? Like when cops have like numbers for like response?
420? Like a code, like a penal code.
Like 187 is a homicide.
Yeah, no, it's not that at all.
Educate us. I'm ready.
This is actually really interesting.
I want to know.
Okay, so 420 can be traced back to 1971 when a group of five students at San Rafael High School in Marin County, California began meeting at 420 to smoke weed.
Of course, that's
the actual numbers. 420 didn't have any real significance, but it was just like a time that they kind of were all done with their everything, and it was time, you know, to smoke weed. And they actually, the guys, they're all named Steve Capper, Dave Reddix, Jeffrey Noel, Larry Schwartz, and Mark Gravich. So this, like, you can pin it back to five dudes.
It's the marijuana Mount Rushmore.
Exactly. I wonder if they got like matching jewelry to be like, dude, original 420. I think
it's kind of cool. Like, I want to like interview these guys. I just think it's such a cool thing. So what?
I don't mean to interrupt, but it's kind of cool that they got their names attached to something, because there's a lot of like things in our zeitgeist that like just became and no one knows where they came from. And these guys somehow attach their names.
Well,
that's
what I was saying with like the Stussy S.
Yeah.
Or they call it the Stussy
S.
It's not
this?
Stussy. You know, the S from back like in the day. Nobody knows where that came from. It was like a mystery.
It's not you.
Me?
You used to draw those all the time.
I know. Me
a
and
lot
everybody
of people
else.
Did, but nobody knows why.
No. So back in the day, it was hard because things
could be an interesting
just, like,
documentary.
Happened.
It would be.
It would be. So these guys were in high school, and obviously smoking weed was illegal. So they used the number 420 to be like, let's go smoke some weed. Years later, one of the guys in the group, the Reddix, Dave Reddix, got a gig working as a roadie for Grateful Dead bassist Phil Lesh.
Perfect. Perfect.
And by 1990, a group of Grateful Dead fans were spreading the word about the ritual by distributing flyers inviting people to smoke, quote unquote, 420 on April 20th at 420 p.m.
I love that.
And it said the magazine High Times printed a copy of the flyer the next year. And from there, the association between 420 and smoking weed spread across the world.
Fun.
So that's kind of where it came from, which I think is like, what a cool story.
Even you can start a movement.
That's
you
right.
You can.
You just got
to
go for it.
You don't have to do much. I know a lot of people say that people smoke weed, they're slackers, but Listen,
not really. These
I just
guys...
heard five names attached to a national holiday. So
I wonder if they did anything like copyright it or trademark it or, you know,
they're not
made
you,
money off
so
of
probably
it.
Not.
And you know what I was trying to do for True Crime Rewind? I was like, you know, it'd be really good is if I went onto Reddit and we found like the funniest stories that anybody was doing when they were high. And I found a lot of articles about it. But unfortunately, when you're sober, reading about these stories of funny things people did when they're high, they're actually not funny.
Yeah, I'm going to agree that
we were reading through like the Reddit post today and it was like, well, look, Jack, this guy like microwaved his cheesecake and then it wasn't good anymore.
Yeah, and this other guy's like, I smoked weed and we were in South America and we saw this white owl and there's no white owls in South America. And then I took a picture of it. And then the next morning I woke up when I was sober and it was a bird.
Well, can you guys share your story that you say you weren't high, but you saw a capybara? What did you see?
No, we already talked about that.
I know, but
we saw an upright reptilian creature.
Are you sure you weren't high?
Yeah, positive.
No, we were definitely drunk.
Oh, definitely.
We were absolutely drunk.
Oh, for sure. But this thing was upright and reptilian and running across the road in Florida.
It was basically Hillary Clinton running across the road, you know?
In a lizard
mini
costume.
Yeah.
Lizard people.
Had a pantsuit on.
I think that we did an episode about all of the
cryptozoology stuff.
The cryptids. But when we were doing that, there's an actual lizard. I think they call it the Jesus lizard because it runs on its hind legs.
There's a real lizard that does that.
Yeah. I'm like, but it wasn't, what we saw wasn't a lizard. It was more of like a human. It was more of like an alien body. It was like a human shaped body that was small and green.
What? Somebody reached out and said it was something. A fairy?
I don't remember what it was.
A gnome? I don't know.
We've had so many people trying to explain what we saw, but I know what I saw.
And I don't
think we'll talk about it on a documentary.
We weren't
once.
Stoned. We were just a little drunk.
Okay. That'll get you, though.
Yeah, they will. Every time.
So, anyways, all these stories about people being high are actually so stupid when you read them when you're not high yourself. So we are exiting that idea and we're going to get into some more advice because I feel like we have so much fun when we give you lovely listeners advice on everything that is stressing you out that you need to talk to somebody about.
You need an impartial opinion, not the people in your life, people who don't know you. Some practical, boiled down, broad, sweeping advice from three grizzled people living in LA.
That's right.
Been through some shit.
Take it or leave it.
Yeah. Take it or leave it, baby. All right. Well, we will get into that in a little bit. But before then, we have got some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
All right. Welcome to On the Stand. Every week we bring a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're loving it. We're hating it. We're like raving about it, or it's just like the worst thing in the entire world. We have a healthy discussion about it. Vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Bring it to you people. You vote if it's guilty or not guilty. And sometimes we have a listener on the stand. We have today.
Oh, yes.
So we will also be putting you in. And if you want to call and give us your On the Stand, the number is 818-442.
No, 446.
446.
6889.
And that's 818.
446.
6889.
We should come up with a jingle, Jared.
All right. I got a lot. I'm busy.
442-6889. Okay. Yeah. We need to do bitches in the bathroom first.
I know.
Okay.
We'll talk about that later.
Sorry.
I'm actually very excited about this On the Stand.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Ready?
Yeah.
Hi, Jack, Alexis, and Jer. I am putting something on the stand, and I need to know if everybody does this, because it might be a weird one. It might just be something that my family's weird, but I'm putting on the stand on Christmas buying a birthday cake for baby Jesus, like a sheet cake from a grocery store. We grew up, unfortunately, super Catholic, and every Christmas my aunt would get a big birthday cake, and we all had to sit around and sing happy birthday to Jesus. And I've never recovered. I'm fully traumatized. And I just don't think we need to waste a sheet cake on Christmas when we can have them for our birthdays. I thought it was a weird thing. I want to know if anyone's ever heard of this or if my family's corrupt. And then B, is it guilty or not guilty? Thanks. Love you guys.
Oh my God.
I love you because I love that inside you're like, something's not right about this.
Yeah.
Do other families do this? And the answer is no.
No, I bet the answer is yes.
I bet the answer is a resounding yes. I bet.
Absolutely.
I bet
yes.
We're going to find out. It's not my family.
Not anyone I know, not anyone you know, or not anyone you know.
But we're not super Christian people.
I know, but I feel like we know some. No. I feel like we would have seen this growing up, or like, I grew up with a ton of you're Catholic. I grew up in the most Catholic place ever. Mm. Not once was there a baby Jesus cake.
I feel like this is not a Catholic thing to
Here's
do.
My question.
I feel like it's more of like a...
I think it's personal for your aunt.
Think about how many people out there do things different than you do.
Not a ton that I know.
That's why we live in our own little nice bubble of friends.
Yeah, I mean, we have some diverse friends.
Yeah.
Not religiously.
I'm gonna guess,
not religiously diverse, I guess. None of our friends are religious.
No.
So that's
so
the thing. It's
of
like,
course
I also,
none of our friends
I also, obviously none of us know a baby Jesus.
I also think it's fascinating, and I am non-judgmental when people are, but I've never heard of this.
It would be stunned if there weren't at least a couple people that in the comments are like, yes, I or
oh
someone
God,
I
yeah.
know.
Or at least like
this.
In their childhood, for sure.
Well, I'm not going to say guilty if this is your religious belief. I will say guilty if it's not and it's for novelty and it is not guilty if you're, it's also very not guilty if you're doing it to make your aunt uncomfortable by you doing it. Like, I see the novelty in it if you want to have some fun with this, but like, I don't know. If it's your religious thing, I would never say guilty to it.
Well, I would just say maybe it's an excuse to get some cake.
That's what I was going to say. To me, it's not guilty just because how else are you going to get cake on Christmas? Like that
Yeah,
rules.
It's like it's a nice
Nobody
little
thinks,
dessert excuse.
Yeah.
You can bring any dessert to Christmas and it's fine.
Well.
But Easter, isn't there a Easter tradition where they put a little baby in the cake and whoever gets it like has good luck?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Isn't that Greek
something
Easter
like that.
Or something?
I think that's a Greek thing.
But. Yeah, I don't know. Something about, like, if you show up with a cake on Christmas, someone's going to ask who it's for.
No. Everyone's going to be like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, well, it's for baby Jesus.
I'm going to listen. I'll eat a baby Jesus cake.
I'm in.
I will also indulge in that. So I guess...
not guilty.
I'm not, yeah.
Having a cake at any time is not guilty. If you were weirded out by it, though, it's guilty for you. Mm. And I think you should make your opinion known at the Christmas table.
That's right. Boycott that baby Jesus cake.
But be like, hey, I support the cake, but can we call it something else? Mm. Like a Christmas cake.
Christmas cake.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, I'm going to go first.
Great.
It's funny because you actually mentioned what I'm putting on the stand.
Oh my God, I did.
When we were talking about the little baby reptilian that Jared and I saw.
Oh, wow.
I'm putting capybaras on the stand.
Oh.
Were you going to do that?
No, I just love capybara. I'm shook. Because I've been seeing capybara, 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 all day, every day since that TikTok sound.
I've never even heard that TikTok sound.
Are you joking?
Shocking.
No. Have you?
No, but I don't go on there often.
Are you lying?
No.
Then I want to hear how you know about capybaras.
I mean, I just have known about them because as anybody knows that follows me or knows me as a person, is I love really weird animals. Like, the weirder the better.
Google it. And that sound on TikTok is viral right now.
All right. Well, the reason why I love a capybara is they're rodents. They're massive rodents.
They are massive rodents.
They're the biggest rodent that exists.
Like a giant rat.
They are. But here's the thing. And this is what I've realized, because I think... to make something cute, it just needs to be the size that it isn't.
Yeah.
So that's why the capybara is amazing, because rats are disgusting because they're gross and they're small.
Disagree.
Once you make the rat.
I like rats too.
You like a rat?
I do like a rat.
They're very smart.
No, you don't.
They're training them to find people in rubble and earthquakes.
Really?
Yeah, because they can get in the things and like press a little button that's connected to their back that tells people where they are.
Yeah, and also I feel like you're the first person who would like a rat.
I mean, I don't mind a rat.
I don't want an infestation. I want a domestic rat.
Oh, yeah. I'd like a rat.
You don't want oh no, my kitchen's dirty kind of a rat.
I don't want an uninvited rat.
I don't want a rat. I don't want to hear it in my ceiling when I'm trying to sleep.
Yeah, but like, I'd love if somebody had a pet rat. I would love that.
I get to choose when I see this rat.
Yes.
This rat does not visit me sporadically.
That's right.
This rat is not diseased. Mm. This rat doesn't bite. This rat
no rabies.
Can rescue someone from some rubble. I got like the Lassie of rodents here.
An intelligent rat.
Yeah.
not showing up unannounced. Yeah, got it.
Yeah, no, that's all the difference is just if it's invited.
Dude,
or not.
A rat that breaks in your home will eat meat. I had a rat one day break into my house, rip chicken bones out of my garbage can and eat like eat chicken. Mm. I called my dad. I was like, what's happened? I thought like a fucking wombat had. He's like, no, that's a rat because mice won't do that. I was like, what? Wow. They chewed through my screen window in this place. At a screen, chewed through metal screen, ripped open my garbage can. My dad's like, that's like three rats. I'm like, they're intense animals.
Rat wow. pack. We call that a rat pack.
Oh, rat pack. Anyways, capybaras, massive rats. Really cute. And I think like the bigger that they got, the slower they are. Guinea pigs are adorable too. But the capybara is so big.
But this
big.
Is like a prehistoric sized
that's,
rodent.
It seems like it shouldn't exist, and that's why I like it. It's the same thing. I've been starting to get these massive bugs on my For You page, like beetles, like the size of your hand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, once something gets to a certain size,
they're no longer scary.
They're cute.
Yeah.
Like a beetle the size of my hand is adorable, and his name is Fred.
So cute.
A tiny little beetle is scary, and Jared tries to smush him with his shoe.
I do not smush
them. A tiny one makes you feel like your house is dirty.
Yeah. A big one is a pet.
But a big one is a friend.
Yes.
But what I love about capybaras is crocodiles and alligators don't eat them.
What? Because they're too big.
No, just in general. I mean, they'll eat a human, yeah. So they can't be. It, for some reason, capybaras can ride them. They just don't fuck with them.
They do ride them.
And then pelicans try to eat them.
I know.
And it's like,
I know.
Alligators don't eat them, and pelicans try to be like, can this fit in my mouth? That and they the, like size them up.
You know why? Because it's a confusing looking rodent, and no one knows what to do with it.
It shouldn't exist.
But I pelicans only eat fish.
I don't know if that pelican was being serious. I know what video you're
talking
about.
I've seen other videos like this.
They just try to open their big beaks and like close it on the capybara, but it's so huge that they're basically just like going like this.
And the capybara doesn't even notice because it's just eating whatever. It's like little.
Capybaras also seem pretty stupid, which I really like.
Love.
Yeah. They're very small, little tiny brains in that big body. Kind of like Jared.
I was waiting for it. I was like, how is she going to word this?
No, Jared's a big brain.
It's okay.
It's pretty empty up there.
Mostly filler.
Yeah. Anyways, capybara is not guilty.
Not guilty.
So cute.
I'm going not guilty, but just because I want to agree with you guys.
You wouldn't want
to. I don't really see any positives to this animal.
What?
There's nothing I really like about it.
You know what? Sometimes they wear hats and they eat popsicles and slide down slides.
So like a kid?
Yeah. They're like a toddler? Little, they're like a little baby.
All right. Yeah. Not guilty, but still.
What's the
I'm
point
not...
of a rhinoceros? Like,
holy
do you feel
shit,
this way
I never
about
thought
all,
about
like,
that.
What about an elephant? Like, what's the point of all of these? Like,
there's no point to anything.
Animals are subjective whether or not I like them, okay?
Okay. Capybaras are so cute.
They're objectively cute.
In fact, they look like rhinoceroses with no horns.
They're a little okay. Bit. They're okay.
Really cute little snout.
The problem is there's so many animal obsessions happening in this house that like I just don't know if we have room for another one.
You do.
The capybara has been around for a while.
All right.
I can't believe you don't know the TikTok song. We're going to plug it in here. It's everywhere. Just put it in your TikTok search and you'll see.
Amazing. All right. Well, all right. Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Not guilty.
Who's next?
I'll go.
Okay.
Can I go? Should I go? Reclining your seat on an airplane in general on any domestic flight. Reclining your seat. Like, I know it's only a couple of inches, but you're taking up someone else's space.
Are
you
saying you're not allowed to?
Yeah.
Not. I mean, I disagree.
Okay.
Are you a recliner?
I am so uncomfortable on an airplane. I'm desperate to do anything to make it better. I recline as soon as it's allowed.
Mm-hmm. That's your
I
right.
Dude,
but I'm going to judge you.
I can't sit. I can't sleep like this. I can sleep like this.
I'm saying domestic flights only.
Yeah,
long
I think
international
on an overnight
flights.
Flight.
I think everybody understands. You're trying. Everyone's
if
trying to.
If you
sleep.
Weren't supposed to do it, why would they give you the option?
See, I
recline immediately every time. I will never bend on this.
If somebody reclines on me, I immediately start planning, like in my head, like what's the worst thing?
I can't believe people don't like it.
Well, it fucks up your shit if you're being reclined into.
It depends.
If you're trying to work on a computer on the fold down thing, like you can't.
Then
if somebody's
you
reclining.
Have to recline to get the space you need.
That's
this
right.
This is what I'm saying.
But then, if you don't want to recline because you don't want to be rude to the person in back of you,
then they
just
can.
Get stuck.
It's a solution for everyone. Everyone can recline to get their space back.
I like the reclining
except
itself.
Except the last seat against the wall in the back because they get reclined.
See,
and that is.
We're leaving this in. I hope everybody heard that.
That's the fruit. It's the fruit cart.
We gotta soundproof this place. All right. Anyways, I think that the joy I get from having a couple inches reclining does not outweigh the anger I feel when somebody comes at my face from in front of
me. Yeah, I feel you.
Neither of you recline?
No. Unless I absolutely have to.
I always do.
Yeah.
But my back always hurts. Like, right now, back hurts.
Jared has sciatica.
Well, then recline, you weirdo. What are you going to, like...
It makes it worse, that angle when
you're not a martyr.
The angle that the seat is in when I do recline it, it makes my back hurt worse.
Maybe you should get a little travel heating pad.
Maybe I should just die.
A lumbar pillow.
Well, I recline, not guilty.
All right, guilty.
This is going to be a good one.
I know.
For Facebook.
You know, I'm in the middle because I do recline sometimes, but I try not to as much as I can.
I can't believe that is even something in your head. To me, it's like an automatic thing you're blessed to do. It's part of this experience. Mm-hmm. I'd never even considered that I shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Interesting.
Well, ever.
My last thing I'll say is if there's any lunatics listening right now, you can actually go online and buy these little blocks that are universal, and they fit if you're sitting behind somebody on an airplane.
Oh, that's
fucked up. They fit over the hinge where the seat would recline, and they prevent it from moving.
That's a bad idea.
You'll get kicked off your flight and probably put on a list if you have these, but they do exist.
No. It's a bad idea because
bad karma.
People will fucking fight you, and people are so angry on flights already.
Oh, yeah.
And if someone was like me and I had the right to recline and someone stopped me... Mm. And I had a couple airplane wines.
You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not advocating. Do not buy this
really?
Product.
Because it seems like, do you have like a link you want to share with the listeners? Because it seems like you have these.
Yeah, I do actually. It's no, I don't.
Interesting, okay. That you know about
But I've seen it and I've been like, if I wasn't like afraid of getting in trouble at all at any time, then I'd
be. Or getting your ass kicked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Lex.
Not guilty.
Guilty.
I don't know.
Mistrial. Okay, so I'm putting something on the stand that's made me cry maybe 8 days in a row.
Oh.
The dodo.
The dodo.
Do you know what the dodo is?
Yeah, the animal.
The extinct
animal? No, not the dodo bird.
Instagram.
The dodo Instagram and Facebook and TikTok is basically a media company now that is an aggregate of content that has a happy ending, but it's like... a baby kitty and all the kittens stuck in tar crying. And then a Good Samaritan films the rescue in like trimming the tar from the crying babies, bathing them in Dawn and scalding water while they're feeling better, I guess. And then in recovery for weeks. And then finally they're able to walk again. And I'm really a big puddle of like emotional mess in the morning. And I watch them in the morning before I get to bed. And I'm like... And I start my day sobbing.
But maybe like it's a release.
That's kind of nice. And it's like an emotional exercise.
But they have this thing where like the sad animal goes like, meh. And they have these like lightning bolts that come out of it that they always do where it's like, totally. Yeah, yeah.
Alert. Yeah,
yeah. Like these graphics they do. And they do it for every animal. The other day I saw an elephant stuck. And the mother stuck in tar. And the mother in Africa
was
on the road asking poachers for help.
Oh my God.
It's not poachers, but just people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's poachers.
And like the narrator's like, look at the mother desperate for help. I'm like, I need to know if this elephant lives right now.
Yeah. I think they always do.
But if you're on the dodo, on this journey.
It sounds like they always do live.
Yes, but like to go on that journey is so painful to watch the animals suffer. Then I just think about the other ones that didn't get rescued. I think it's a really heavy thing to just be in my algorithm so casually. So I'm putting Dodo on the stand. I want to be able to click on that when I'm emotionally ready for that. I don't want that at me when I'm in a fragile place.
That's why I can't even. There's an account like that for people. The good news movement, I think it's called.
I don't fuck with people. That's even worse.
It's worse. No, it's the same thing. It's always feel-good stories, but they're always, like, heart-wrenching, horrible stories of people, you know, like, making it through illness and whatever.
Oh.
And I'm like...
Throw babies in, I wouldn't be able to get out of bed. If I was children...
I follow it, and then I literally never watch any of the videos. I'm like, I am not capable to withstand what this video is going to emotionally throw at me. Like, I can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, now when I see the dodo, I swipe now because it's just like, it's too heavy. I'm trying to like get myself out of bed. For the love of God, that's hard enough.
Yeah. Do you know who has a video on the dodo?
Who?
Beth.
Well, that's different.
Beth.
Our favorite dog.
Beth is perfect.
She Truly. Had a, because she, you know, she has had a hard story.
She overcame a lot.
Key baby.
Yeah. Anyways, but she's on the dodo.
Dodo.
I mean, I get it. I'm going to say guilt. I mean, it's great content, but I can't handle it. So it's guilty for me.
Guilty. I like a... most of the accounts I follow are just people getting hit in the crotch. So like, it's too.
I like
too...
funny animal videos, and I love saving and rescuing animals. I just it really bums me out.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know,
guilty.
Great.
All right. Well, that was one thing I should do when we come back. It is time to answer some of your questions.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Okay, so it comes as no surprise that I have absolutely no idea how to cook. I don't want to learn how to cook. It's not really my thing. But when I tried Factor Meals, it was a freaking game changer. So Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Yeah, 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. So the first time I tried Factor Meals, I was actually blown away because I'm like, that's it. That's all it is. 2 minutes. And the meals are so delicious. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. And you can treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon. Ooh, fancy. Shrimp and blackened salmon. Like I said, they're so easy to prepare. I love them. So head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
It's almost summer, and the best and most sustainable way to shop for a new season is on TheRealReal.com. TheRealReal is the largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. It's the only place you'll find brands like Hermes, Cartier, Prada, Dior, Staud, Zimmermann, Jacquemus, and more for up to 90% off retail. 10,000 plus new arrivals land every single day from hundreds of brands you love, all authenticated by a team of in-house experts. Whether it's that perfect wedding guest look, a new summer sandal, an updated beach tote, resort wear for your summer vacation, you're bound to find exactly what you're looking for, plus deals you won't get anywhere else on TheRealReal.com. Visit TheRealReal.com and use code FIRST at checkout for 20% off. Terms apply.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Welcome to Ask a Girl, Ask a Ginger, our Hello. New advice column. We are answering your deepest, darkest questions about yourself. This isn't a ask us anything about ourselves. This is let us
Although,
help you.
That would be fun.
We'll do it, but that's an AMA. We're not doing it. This is not an AMA.
Yeah.
But we will do
three highly qualified advice givers.
Exactly.
We don't not have it together.
I think we got it.
We don't have it fully figured out, but like I ask both of you for advice all the time.
Yeah, we ask each other for advice. Yeah. I think we're pretty good at it.
Yeah, we're good at it.
Okay, so we're pulling from Instagram. So these are shorter questions that people have asked, just general, but I feel like it'll be a good discussion.
Let's do it.
Okay, so the first question says, how much patience should I have with guys that I meet on dating apps that are canceling on our first date or meetup?
I'll go. I don't take it personally when they're canceling on a first date or meetup because that has nothing to do with you. If they match with you, they're obviously attracted. They don't know your personality enough to reject it. They're obviously like entangled in something that they're either on their outs from.
Yeah.
Like that has nothing to do with you. So it's like have the patience until you meet up, I guess, if you want. But if they do that after meeting you, before meeting you, it doesn't matter.
Nothing matters.
Meet up with as many people as you can, whatever. But after they meet you, you'll know how they feel about you.
Well, first of all, it says canceling and not ghosting. So I think that those are two completely different things, too. Because I feel like ghosting is like pretty fucked up no matter what.
Yes.
If they're canceling, of course, there might be like an actual reason why they're canceling. But to your point, when I was like single and dating, I made the massive mistake of like getting way into my thoughts and try and thinking that I had a connection with people before I even met them, which I didn't. That like I'd build up this idea of somebody in my head, and then when somebody canceled or something didn't go my way, I'd get really hurt. Like my feelings would be really hurt. I'd be super butt hurt. But it's like had nothing to do with that person. It was because I was putting all of this stock into something that
you didn't even know.
That I didn't even know.
You're
the person.
Projecting like an idea of somebody. Onto someone. Right. Yeah.
So even if it was after like a few dates, like still, it's like I would be like so heartbroken. But then that's also like compounded trauma from like the past that you're feeling every single time.
And like most rejection in dating, I like if I like someone enough to go out on 10 dates with them and I rejected them. It has nothing to do with them. It's obviously I'm hung up on my ex or I'm like in a crazy mode because if I go out with you 10 times or 5 times even, you're obviously good enough for me. You're hot enough for me. Like it, none of that shit's personal in the end. It's all, we're all just like tumbleweeds trying to figure it out.
I think also just like the dating landscape is so fucked up. Like, and unfortunately, it's going to be fucked up for everybody. Like, it's not like you're having a hard time with it because everybody is having a hard time with it. And I think especially even since, you know, we've been together for 5 years, you've been with Matt for a little over 3 years. It's like it's changed even more since then.
Yeah.
So it's like it is the Wild West out there. Shit is fucked up. And I think the best thing that anybody can do that's single right now is just like have your dukes up. Don't take anything personally. It takes a long time to get to know somebody. So remember that. And like when you're going out on dates, like you have to decide if you like this person too. It's not all about like if they're accepting of you and they want to go on another date with you. Like that's
are
what dating is.
Are they good enough for you?
Yeah.
Like you should be going into every encounter like what do you have to put on the table to offer me
to make my life more enriched and better and less anxiety
like not like how do I win you over and give my energy to you, how do you, what are you going to offer because I have know what I have to offer.
Right.
Jared, what do you think? You were in the dating pool very very shortly.
Very brief run with the apps, but I hated every second of it. I thought it was awful, and it is awful. I don't envy anyone who's like going through trying to pull something out of it, because I feel like it's really tough to do, because you go from a very impersonal connection to somebody to like something you have to translate into physical reality in person, and like there's just so much to it that to me it just seemed like, I don't know, it just seemed bleak, and I was not having a good time, and
no,
and so
don't.
I think that said, like you have, maybe that was a good thing, because if I had approached it with like this sort of sense of like it is what it is, like maybe it would have been a little bit easier in the long run to then get what I wanted out of it, because I wasn't expecting much out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if you go into the situation thinking like, you know, if you do want to, if someone cancels on you and you hate that and that doesn't sit well with you, then absolutely move on. But if you're the kind of person who wouldn't be upset by that, then just roll with it, because you don't know where it's going to end up. But like, that's what I'm saying. It has to be tailored to how you would approach a situation according to yourself.
Well, like, and that's the thing too. It's like everybody's so different that like if you're a stickler for people like being true to their word and not canceling and being reliable XYZ kind of a thing, then that's a red flag for you personally. It might not be a red flag for this other person, but for you personally, that's a red flag. And they're showing your true colors before you even met them. And it's like good riddance. Yeah. Find somebody that you can rely on that is going to show up 5 minutes early for your date. And like, you're like closer to meeting the person that you're supposed to be with kind of a thing.
That being said though, their vigilance in being not flaky could change once they meet you. Like it's hard to have like commitment and care for a non-tangible being.
Yeah.
Cause I gotta say, I was on a Bumble very briefly between relationships and I had a great experience. Mm. I met one person who I ended up dating for a minute.
Yeah.
And it was fucking great. Yeah. And then like we ended amicably because like we're not people, but like, you know,
we're not people.
We're not each other's.
We're monsters.
We're not each other's. We weren't going to get married, you know?
Yeah.
But I didn't have a bad experience.
Yeah.
I really didn't.
I think that's the other thing.
It can be done responsibly, I think.
Yeah. And as much as we want to be the same as men, like women and men are completely different.
Yeah.
And I think men are generally less emotionally attached, especially to somebody that they've never met before. Like I said, I was having these ideas in my mind, like writing their last name next to mine before I'd even go on a date with them. But that's how women are. It's
also LA where we could Google these people and there were like doing big deal shit, and it was easy to be excited about.
No, you like get excited about something, and like where men don't even fucking think twice. Like men, it's so easy for a man to just cancel or to have on to the next, because with men too, it's like dating apps and men are a horrible combination because it's just like the shiniest, newest, prettiest, youngest thing.
That's
whereas
right.
women, it's like we, I think,
are looking for a partner.
We look for more substance than men, yeah, generally.
Totally.
Sorry, Jared.
Whatever.
Hey, meeting in person is better.
It is.
It is. And I feel that 100%.
I also think if you're dating, you should try, and you're vibing with somebody, meet with them as soon as possible.
Yeah. Because
I also made that mistake.
Attention spans like go.
Where it's quick. Like, I made that mistake where I'd like chat with somebody for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then you built up this weird rapport
and you
banter.
Like sent pictures, and then you're like, now I have to meet in person.
And then it's weird and yeah. it's different, and it's not exactly how you have this idea of somebody in your mind. So
agreed.
It's like, meet in person so you can see if you vibe like immediately or not.
1,000,000%.
Okay, so I'm going to do another dating related question because I feel like we're on that.
Oh God, we're on a roll with this.
How to explain to the guy that I'm dating that I'm still friends with my ex fiance?
I wouldn't go well for me.
No.
Depends on the relationship. Like,
how?
If you,
it?
What you're if your coworkers?
No.
Okay.
Then your coworkers, you shouldn't be friends. Like, you shouldn't be texting. No, it's too scary for the new partner. I wouldn't feel safe as a new partner under those circumstances. I just would not.
I wouldn't either.
And it depends. Like, are they broken up for how long? You know, I think that makes a big difference.
True. I'm just posing questions here.
No, I mean, I think it's really tough. Because, I mean, there's going to always be, like, the seed of doubt within you. Because it's like, why don't they hate each other? They should hate each other.
Personally,
like, every
personally,
normal couple.
Or, like, if you love each other enough to want to be friends,
then why
do
you together?
Break up?
Yeah.
Like, because that's what's weird. It's like, you guys have had sex and now want to be close friends. No fucking thanks. I wouldn't put myself in that situation.
I think that there are, like, two types of people, too, though. Like, I'm the type of person, like, when I break up with somebody, I never talk to them again. Like, yeah. They're dead to me. And that's it. Like,
well, it's mental self-preservation.
See, but I think there's
a spectrum.
Yeah, for sure. Because it's like, I don't talk to anybody that I ever dated.
Yeah.
But
I definitely
not in like a dead to me sort of way. It's just like, I know that,
dead
that
to me.
That's over. And it's like, I know, but that sounds like ill wishing to me.
But yeah, there is ill wishing.
I
for
definitely
sure.
talk to people I've dated. I've talked to a lot of people I've dated, but we are not friends.
Yeah.
But it'll be like an occasional exchange but like, they're around.
Yeah.
Because I played fast and loose there for a minute.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah,
you know, they're around. And but like, if you can be friendly, but dating an ex-fiance, like people I dated where it was
for
never
sure.
even official.
There's a big difference.
Yeah.
An ex-fiance.
Yes.
Dude, I could
Massive.
Not be friends with any of my serious partners.
For sure.
Still.
No, it's also just not fair to your,
no.
like, and the thing is, like, I always think about this, like, when I break up with somebody and it's like, let's be friends. It's like, I don't fucking need another friend. I have enough friends. I don't
Straight
need
up.
Another friend. Like, you're not adding anything to my life because
except anxiety.
Except anxiety.
If we hung out, I'd be just thinking about how awkward this is.
And then it's like, if I had the upper hand in this situation where it's like, let's be friends. I feel like I'd be doing that person a disservice because I'm toying with their emotions by still
right.
being in their life. Like, I think it's fucked up to be friends with your ex. Like, I really do.
Yeah.
A serious ex.
That's fair.
I
that
agree.
Makes sense. I agree.
And it's fucked up to everybody involved when you start dating somebody new because it just adds another like layer of
anxiety
like,
and
shit.
Fear and
yeah.
insecurity.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. All right. Well, we are now out of time. We only got through two questions, but these are great.
So
I'm like really good. Heated. I'm actually like physically hot because I got really excited.
You are indeed.
Hot. Are
physically
we gonna
hot.
Do a worstie?
Yeah, we got to go right into our worsties. We'll go now.
We'll go right now.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Hey, worstie firsties. We are here to bring you another salacious worstie firstie. So let's just get right to it.
Jump right in.
This one says April 4th, new worstie. I labeled it wrong. April 4th was yesterday, not even today. But here we are.
Go.
Hey, Jack, Carrie, and Alexis. I wanted to let you know something I did in high school and still feel really bad about. I was involved in a sting operation when I was 16, 17, after getting arrested from a house party. So I had either volunteered, I don't remember, or someone had designated me to be the deliverer of money for fake IDs of like 7 or 8 of my friends to this random person in the city. And I got arrested with all the money for that and all the pictures for the fake IDs, the fake addresses, like the whole shebang. And I was looking at some felony charges, obviously. That's a big deal. And that was really scary for me. So they, you know, told me I had to kind of do whatever they say or I was going to get a felony, you know, really pressuring me to cooperate. And I was like, I don't care. I'll do whatever. And, you know, I'm going to cover my own ass. And, yeah, I was a snitch, technically, and I do feel bad for it. I don't think he got in trouble, though, because he had already heard news that I had been arrested the night before we were meeting up. So when the cops put me in an unmarked car and took me to the meeting site, they didn't give me any wires. And I was like, oh, that kind of sucks. I was kind of looking forward to that part of it. But so this guy asked me, like, I heard you were arrested last night. Is this like, was something going on? And so I said, no, you know, I just got a drunk and disorderly, no big deal. When I had given them this person's phone number, I only knew his first name. It was very, sketchy. So I do feel really bad about that. I didn't want a felony and I hope he didn't get a felony either. And I'm gonna hope that that was the case. So, that's one of the worst things I've done. Thanks.
Okay. So first of all, we all did this. I still have a little plastic baggie with all my fake IDs.
Oh, yeah.
One was from Texas. One was of a girl who looked like me. Like, that was the age before all the super digital connectedness mm-hmm. of shit that you can check in real time.
I wonder, do people still have fake IDs?
I'm sure.
I never had one.
You didn't?
I still have mine, and yeah. I would like almost want to do a show and tell because they're so funny.
I probably have mine somewhere too.
But like, listen, you just were in the unfortunate position to get caught doing this, which is against the law and a felony. But you deciding to be like, I'm not going down for this, is completely valid.
I would do the same thing.
You were 16. I would do the same thing. Yeah. If I had gotten caught with my fake ID, I would have done the same thing.
What's your allegiance? You're not in the mafia. Like,
exactly. You want to self-preserve. Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's like you're scared and like you know what's going on.
Fake IDs are supposed to just be for funds. Yeah. And you know what's not fun? Felonies.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't some shit that's worth a felony. If you were, it's like, if there was $1 million in the line, I can understand the moral dilemma with that one.
Is a fake
like,
ID a felony?
What?
Is a fake ID a felony?
Maybe buying or maybe.
Making them and being involved in that.
Yeah.
But she wasn't. Yeah, she was more like bringing the money to someone who was making them.
Yeah.
And she was bringing the addresses and pictures because she was like, help. Probably, it sounds like from your friends, you were being the person.
Right.
To buy them for everyone.
You're the coordinator.
Yeah, you were coordinating. And like, that's not your fault. Everyone was. I think you did the exact fucking right thing, to be honest. And if the other guy involved was 16, he probably got a slap on the wrist too. Yeah. You have the luck of your age on your side there. If you were 18, it probably would have been worse. But no, I mean, I don't think you should feel bad. You did the right thing. And I think if anyone's caught up in something legal and the police are like, hey, you should help us. Mm. I think you should all do it. Do the right thing. Always.
Yeah, I agree.
Make up for your mistakes.
Absolutely.
Unless your life's on the line. Like if, you know, there are instances where that could be the wrong advice. So just use your common sense. If someone's after you, I don't know. You know,
use your
I don't.
Common sense.
We aren't giving legal advice on this podcast.
Not giving you legal advice. And if someone's like, if you talk, I'll kill you. Like, then go to the cops. Tell your mom.
Fuck.
You know, don't do that.
Yeah. Great story though.
I have a friend who got for a fake ID because he was at a bar. I won't name names, but he was at a bar and some guy was like asking him about his ID and he was like, oh yeah, it's like fake. And blah, 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 blah.
It was a cop?
It was a cop.
Oh my God.
I've had one taken away.
Really?
I never had one taken away and some of my fake IDs did not look like me at all.
McLovin, Hawaiian organ donor.
So perfect.
Yeah.
Super bad.
Mine were pretty much that bad.
Love it.
All right. Well, we are out of time. So I know you didn't prepare anything today.
No,
what do you want to do?
Do you want to do like a group freestyle?
Absolutely.
For Costanza Stanza?
Sure.
Who's going to start?
You.
You are.
Okay. I'm George Costanza, and I don't do drugs. I am drugs. Jared?
Wait, so I'm rhyming with drugs?
Yeah.
I'm George Costanza, and I don't do drugs. I am drugs.
And when I'm feeling sad, I really want some hugs.
The dogs I identify with most are pugs.
And like Jack said, I only like big, cute bugs.
You brought it full circle.
And the things that I really love, everybody else thinks are pretty fugs.
Wow.
It's 420, bitches. Let's put on some comfy Uggs.
How did you do 420 without saying nugs?
And let's smoke some. I mean, we don't smoke nugs. I'm George Costanza, and I'll smoke some nugs. But not, I'm not, but he will.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Bye.
Goodbye.